On July 22, 1955, the abbot called me in from work. I was working with the novices to tell me that my father had just died suddenly. Well, we talked and prayed for a while, and I went, got changed and ready for vespers. And as I walked in, I was a little late. All the brethren were singing. This was the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene. Noli quere, Maria, alleluia, viventem cum mortuis, alleluia, alleluia. Mary, do not seek the living among the dead. Alleluia, alleluia. And I felt in my heart that the Lord was telling me that my father had conquered death, that he was alive. He might need time for purification, but for eternity, he was going to experience the fruit of the resurrection of our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. The angel has the same message for us tonight. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? Well, by the mercy of God, we don't. But the world is living through a very dark Holy Saturday, not even knowing that it's holy, living through an absence of meaning, of truth, of Christ. And our faith has got to be challenged. We share this with them. Aren't we oppressed by the wars, the violence? Aren't we oppressed by the loneliness, by the corruption of so many youth? There seems to be an absence. And we're called upon not to look there for the living one, but to look for him in faith so that the world can see him in us. That's what we celebrate. It's almost unthinkable for us to imagine what it would be like to have no hope, to have nothing but a dead God. Nietzsche proclaimed that. God is dead. We have killed him. Meaning, we've gotten rid of any idea of God in this world. And now, we can take his place. People keep saying that. They say it in so many ways. We don't even need human beings for procreation anymore. We can do it in a test tube. We're God. But it's a very unstable pillar that we mount. It's very shaky. It's very lonely. Nietzsche prophesied that. He said, now that God is dead, now that we have mounted to the heavens and looked all around and there's nothing, we will be terrified and dizzy and spinning through darkness. He was a madman, but he was a genius. He opposed everything that Jesus ever stood for. But he could see what would happen when they killed God. They killed God on the cross. They buried God in the tomb. And 3 days later, he rose and broke all the bonds of this universe. From one end of the galaxies to the other, this universe is not the same. But what has happened to us? Where's the joy? Where's the freedom? Where's the meaning? We've climbed ourselves now as civilizations. We've climbed ourselves up to the top of the mountain. We're it. And as Nietzsche said, we're terrified. We're terrified. And tonight, we celebrate the fact that some of us know that absence is not the real understanding or meaning of our existence. It's presence. It's a presence of the living, eternal Son of God. And we know it because we have been given the gift to perceive it. Faith is a way of knowing, but it's given to us. We have to receive it, but it's given to us. Nobody can reason to the death and resurrection of the Son of God. No one can know this except by a pure gift. The letter of Peter has some beautiful lines about what this means. Remember, he says, though you have never seen him, you love him. And though you have not seen him yet, you put your faith in him and rejoice with a joy that is unutterable. That's the gift. You've never seen him, but you love him. Now, this journey of faith goes from mountains to valleys. The mountains get higher and the valleys get deeper. The light gets more brilliant and the dark gets more profound. But someplace in the depth of our spirit, we know the presence of Jesus Christ, the living, eternal Son of God. That's why we're here. That's what we celebrate. We're called to this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Isn't that remarkable? Isn't that remarkable? There's something beyond sight. There's something beyond absence. It's presence. And Jesus Christ is that presence. That means that we will be called to live through that and know that presence. And as it gets deeper, it may not fill the exterior part of our spirit, our soul, with much awareness. But we will know. We will put our faith in him. And we will have joy unutterable. That's the promise. In fact, that's the reality. That's the reality. You know, we're supposed to be able to tell people, give them a good, simple, humble response when they ask us about the hope that is in us. Why? Why do we have hope? We can see this world. We can see what's happened to Western civilization and through it, the contagion to the rest of the world. There's nothing beyond us. There's nothing. But we know there is. We are called, in one way, to share the agony of the absence that everybody knows. We have to. We have to sanctify that. It is from there that the light shines. It's from there that we understand the meaning in what seems meaningless. And it's a gift. A gift. We know that we are called to live eternally with God in an absolutely unimaginable bliss. We know that. Faith is a way of knowing. But the thin thread that holds that knowledge in us does not absolve us from knowing what it means to suffer absence. It's just that it's different. It's different because though we have never seen Him, we put our faith in Him. And we know. We know that He lives. We know it. Even when we don't know it, we know it. That's the gift. And what is our role, our call? To let that be known. To let that be known. It said there in our reading from Paul, you see, the death he died to sin. The life he lives to God. He died to all this world of meaninglessness, helplessness, competition for power, fear. He died to all of that. He broke its back. And the life he lives, and he lives a life, an infinitely beautiful, glorious life, he lives to the Father. And they're locked in this gaze of love, even in his humanity, forever. And out of that comes this joy, this light to bathe the whole world. But we are his body. And it must shine through us. You know how hungry the world is. We've had some great examples of this. People, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, God has put them on a candlestick to shine and give light to the whole house. I was just talking to my sister today. She's I'm a New Yorker too. She loves New York. I mean, I like it, but she loves it. She told me an interesting thing. In the New Yorker, for April 2nd, there's a whole article on Benedict XVI. And in the magazine section of the New York Times, coming out tomorrow, there's a whole other article on Benedict XVI. Why? Because in the depth of his spirit, he knows Jesus Christ is alive. And it radiates out through everything he says and does. And he has a mind that can let it radiate out. And God said, Benedict, here, you stand up there. I want the whole world to see that light. But he says it to us too. Stand up there. Let them see the light. I don't have much light. You've got plenty. You've got plenty. I have been working in your life for years and years. You've got plenty. But I'm a failure. So was I. I haven't done much. Neither did I. I gathered 12 men. One betrayed me. The other 11 ran away. Neither did I. But that doesn't matter, don't you understand? I clung to my Father's will. I lived through his absence. We're going to say in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you, do you believe? You see that he was crucified and that he descended among the dead. He disappeared from everything we know is that is human. Everything. He disappeared. He sank below anything we know as human. He died. And he went to live among the dead. And when he got there, he broke those bonds, he opened up the gate and changed the whole universe. But he did it by disappearing. That's our hope. And do you know, one of the great joys of our eternal life is going to be the people who come up to us and say, you don't know me. But when your child died, you clung to faith. When you lost your job, when you were disappointed, insulted, when you suffered, when you were very, very sick, and you clung to me, you clung to God, you carried me along with you. I was going through those things, but I had never heard of Jesus Christ in any real way. Oh, yeah, I saw in the movies and I heard people talk, but I knew nothing. And you brought me here because Jesus bound your life with mine. That's the beginning. And then, if we will cling to that light, which is always there, even when it seems dark. You know, a reporter once asked Mother Teresa, "Mother Teresa, what is it like to have deep experiences of God?" She said, "It's been so long, I have forgotten." But that didn't mean there wasn't a deep, powerful, like a pilot light, in her spirit, burning brightly, powerful, transforming, that took her through disappointment, suffering, betrayal, sickness, right through death. That's what we proclaim tonight. And if you'll listen to the Lord, I guarantee you, whoever you are, you will leave here happier than when you came in. Because Jesus Christ is here celebrating his resurrection with us. Isn't that marvelous? He's here. He wants to celebrate with us. Celebrate with me, my friends. And trust me. I have called you to an eternal life. You will die, surely. But that is not the last word on you, as it was not the last word of me. No matter how much you think there is absence, listen, look, be still, and you will know presence. Not the kind you can dominate, not the kind you can cajole, not the kind you can rejoice in, but the kind that takes over your whole spirit. That's what we need. So that's why tonight, when we say hello, let's not say Happy Easter. I mean, everybody says that. They don't even know how to spell Easter. Say, Christ is risen. And answer, truly, he is risen.